to Baton Rouge to speak with authorities there. He is considered right now not a suspect, not a person of interest in the death of his former girlfriend. But you know when you're around these things, if I remember correctly, Aaron Hernandez wasn't a suspect or a person of interest either until he was.
I was going to say, this is patently unfair, but it's also reality that this is exactly how it started with Aaron. It may have a completely different outcome, you know, and we certainly hope so. You don't want to see anybody involved in this. But it is kind of similar to the way things started with Aaron Hernandez.
We are going to get you updated, and when we come back, you are going to hear from NFL Network draft expert and longtime NFL scout. Well, not longtime, but an NFL scout, Daniel Jeremiah. He's really good, so keep it here. You got the score.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studio, this is the official radio home for White Sox baseball. Listen to every White Sox game here on Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago Sports Station, WSER and HD Chicago, WJMK HD2 Chicago. Scoreboard update.
4 o'clock from the Chicago Wolves update studio. I'm Nick Szepkowski. The Chicago Wolves are up 2-1 in a best of five playoff round. Visit ChicagoWolves.com for information. In front of an announced attendance of zero, the White Sox fall today in Baltimore 8-2. Jeff Samardzija, very poor showing today, allowed 8 runs, 7 of them earned in 5 innings pitched. Sox now just 8-10 on the year. They're back in action tomorrow night in Minnesota. Chris Sale takes the mound. Then, Major League Baseball today announced no findings of tampering in the Cubs' hiring of Joe Maddon. As for the team, they go for a sweep of the Pirates tonight at Wrigley. 7:05 first pitch, it's Kyle Hendricks and Garrett Cole in the pitching matchup. NFL Draft tomorrow night in downtown Chicago. Ryan Pace not losing any sleep in the days leading up to it, at least not yet.
Well, this will be my first night before the draft as a general manager, so I'll have to answer that question later. But I sleep pretty well. I feel worried. Hey, this... the hay's in the barn. We've gone through every scenario. We got our board stacked correctly, so I'm gonna sleep well.
Bears pick 7th tomorrow night. Martellus Bennett today reportedly being shopped in trade talks by the Bears. Bulls off this evening. They'll try to close out the Bucks tomorrow night in Milwaukee. Other NBA, Game 5 between the Hawks and Brooklyn is this evening. That series tied at 2. Memphis looks to close out Portland later on tonight. The Grizzlies lead that series 3-1. And today, the Dallas Mavericks voted to not give a playoff share to Rajon Rondo. Blackhawks are off until Friday. That's when they start their Western Conference semifinal series against Minnesota. One Stanley Cup playoff game tonight. It's Game 7 out east between Tampa and Detroit. Winner gets Montreal in the next round. Join 670 The Score for the Talking Cubs with Jake Arrieta series tomorrow at Sal's Beverage World in Villa Park from 5 to 6 p.m. Come meet Chicago Cub Jake for an autograph and get the inside scoop on the Northsiders. Enter for your chance to win Cubs tickets. It's Talking Cubs with Jake, presented by Budweiser. Great times are waiting. Grab some Buds and Atlantis Limousines. I'm Nick Szepkowski, and you're listening to the radio home for White Sox baseball. The next game on The Score is tomorrow at 6:35 when the Sox take on the Twins on Chicago Sports Radio. 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Boars and Bernstein.
Size does matter.
Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
You've got the Boars and Bernstein show on WSCR, The Score, with Hub Arkush sitting in, and draft coverage is being brought to you by the Hub Arkush team at ChicagoFootball.com. Our parade of NFL Network personalities continues with draft analyst Daniel Jeremiah now on The Score. What's happening, Daniel? How are you?
Not much. I'm just glad this thing's finally here.
Well, do you ever feel like you're done? I mean, I know people I know who cover the draft for a living are always, they go to sleep worried that they miss something.
No
they
question.
Wake up worried that they miss something. And until the draft is over, they feel like there's still more to do.
Yeah, you can ask my wife about that, because every time she talks about, okay, let's go to the movies, let's go out to eat, and my response is, I just need to watch a couple more players and then we'll go. That's my response to pretty much everything this time of year. Eventually, it usually happens to me about maybe 10 days out from the draft. You have that acceptance period where you're like, I'm not going to be able to watch every potential draft pick. There is not enough hours in the day.
So, Daniel, I've got to ask you this, because I know you played in college, but a little different family background coming to what you do now. For years, as I grew up in the business, there was Joel Buxbaum and Mel Kiper, and that was it.
Yeah.
And then even for a little while after Joel unfortunately passed away, there was Mel and Nolan Naraki and a couple guys. Now, in the last 5 to 8 years... there are draft experts everywhere. Yeah. When I talk to people who I want to get a good opinion from, they say that the new guy on the block, this Daniel Jeremiah, is the guy you got to hear from. What made you want to do this? How did you end up getting here in the first place?
Well, it was interesting because I, you know, I was scouted for the Baltimore Ravens for 4 years, then went to the Cleveland Browns for a couple years. The first year were 10-6, the next year were 4-12. They blew everybody out. Best thing that ever happened to me because I got a year of paid salary, which the Browns love paying people to not do anything, which I did for a year. And I was able to start a Twitter feed, and that got popular. And then I started doing radio interviews, and with that, ESPN gave me some opportunities to do TV stuff. I ended up going back to scouting, take a job with the Philadelphia Eagles. Halfway through my second year in Philly, I had hired a media agent during that year off and totally just, well, okay, forgot about it. I'm just going back to scouting. He calls me and says, I've got a couple offers for you at networks if you want to do it. And being a father of four, I've missed enough Little League games with scouting, I decided, you know what, this is a better life for me. So the day after the draft, really the night of the draft ended in Philly, I walked into Howie Roseman's office, who's our general manager, and just said, hey, can you give me a week to explore some opportunities? He was kind enough to do so, and the rest is history.
How do teams guard against human nature when it comes to these hours leading up? Because this is the lead up to the draft is always silly. But nothing is sillier than the equivalent of the political October surprise, which is occurring now with little things you might hear, these worries of, oh my God, we're about to commit all this money to a high pick, but we just heard something that may or may not be true. What fail-safes are in place within some of these buildings to guard against overreaction, or does all of the silliness have to be somewhat real?
There's something to it. I think all these things that pop up, there is some legitimacy to it. There's a shred of it. But you have to be confident as an organization in how thorough you are. And that's on the personnel side, that's with your doctors, that's with your security people digging into the background of these players. And you have to be comfortable, hey, we've done the vetting, we know everything there is to know about these guys. And so if something pops up, we're going to have already known about it. The different thing is this year, this Lyle Collins thing that's happened at LSU, yeah, is, I can't recall anything like it.
Yeah, you should mention, he left Chicago. He was here. He left today to go cooperate with authorities who, for the moment, insist he is not a suspect in the death of his former girlfriend who was pregnant. However, it sounds to me, I'm no expert, but it sounds to me like they're very interested in speaking with him, that he may not be a suspect yet.
Yeah, you look at this from a team perspective, and to me, look, he's somebody who's played tackle. I believe he's going to kick inside and play guard at the next level. So already you're taking a guard in the first round, which I know Zach Martin hit it big, but that's still a little bit taboo. You can take a guard high in the draft, and now you've got some legitimate questions, and if you're in that room and you're a general manager, you're saying, am I really going to put my job on the line and take this guy with the risk, and maybe it's a 1% chance, but if there's 1% chance that 3 days after the draft he gets called in for questioning and you got your first round pick tied up in an investigation.
For an interior lineman?
There's no way.
No.
So to me personally, with what I know right now, I would be very surprised if he goes in the first round. I would be shocked. And to me, even if you're sitting there in the second round, you ask the same questions.
And here is what we call a perfect segue in the broadcast. It's a different level, absolutely different level. But now that the civil suit has actually been filed against Jameis Winston, and you know, everybody had it as a lockdown sure thing. Bucks are taking Winston.
Yeah.
And then about a week, 10 days ago, I'm sure we're talking to the same people. Well, the Glazier daughter isn't wild about it, and the distraction of the lawsuit, and the story changed on the crab legs. And so, you know, Jameis Winston is probably the top quarterback prospect. You value the position. He's a top three, top four pick. But with the sideshow that comes with it, this is where teams get nervous.
Yeah, I think in this situation and in talking to people down there in Tampa, I do know, like, let's take the crab legs thing, for instance. That was a story he's told people for a long time. So that was something that hadn't been public because, obviously, it doesn't look good on Florida State, an NCAA issue. But that to me, that story has stayed the same. And I know that they knew this lawsuit was coming. And so I don't think any of this stuff, and that's why I talk about doing your homework, I don't think any of this stuff has caught Tampa by surprise. They have to be okay with the fact that, PR-wise, they're going to take a hit for a little while, but if they believe in Jameis Winston, that they go ahead and do it.
One other question I got to ask you, and then we've got an expert here. I want to get to some actual players, but I wrote a column last night about how much I hate mock drafts because
They're all wrong.
Well, but more than it's all wrong, I have spent the better part of the last month in 20, 30-minute conversations with friends who are GMs, coaches, scouts, and most of them end with us snickering, and I'm saying to them, now, you just lied to me about everything, didn't you? And they say most of it, you know, so because the disinformation game is as important as the information game. I mean, you know who you can trust, but at what point do you get to where you're looking at your evaluations and just not worrying about what you're hearing from these other people.
No question. And that's why, look, they asked me to do mock drafts. I've done five of them. I'll do one more tonight, and it'll be the last one. It's a relief, right? When you get that last one done, it's a relief. And I've always explained it. I do my top 50 list, which is off of my eyes. And my mock drafts are done off my ears. You can criticize my mock draft all you want. I don't care, because that's just based off what I'm hearing, and the fans have fun with that stuff. My top 50 list I will defend, because that's my opinion of what I saw on the tape.
On whom is the mainstream consensus most incorrect in your eyes? Is there anybody who's getting a ton of love that is completely undeserved?